The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my lower right, it's Professor Jim Tubbs. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Enjoying this pleasant weather.
Yes, I'm quite a fan of the fall kind of weather, and we certainly have a lot of that lately. Professor Dan Maggio is here with us. How's it going, Dan?
Good. Actually, it's really good. Busy? Been so busy, it feels like it should be about November, about amount of work that I have put in. I'm enjoying the weather, that's for sure.
So what's the first organization going to look like for fall?
Well, we're after a couple of months, I think we have a much clearer picture of the decisions and the possible directions. And we're really focused on how to deliver remote events, because it would appear that that's almost all of our regions are in that boat. So we're working on tools and resources to deliver so that teams can compete virtually. So that is our big push right now, and it's going well. We have good partner organizations that are working with us and being patient and supportive. So it's good, actually.
Okay.
Better than it was 2 months ago, I can tell you that.
Well, onward and upward. It's been so many months now, it's hard to even keep track. A man I know knows how to keep track. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
How's everything going, Dave?
A little nutty. Not too many complaints. I've had more jobs cancel on me within the last 2 weeks than I care to talk about.
That's not good.
So it's like, I was just telling my wife the other day that I've actually written more quotes for work than invoices. So that stinks.
Yeah, you probably want that to be the other way around.
Yeah, it's like, I wouldn't mind getting paid every couple of weeks as opposed to a couple of months. So.
Although I have seen you out and about as we approach non-Dream Cruise on next weekend.
No. Not going out.
You've been going out these last few weeks, which makes it perfect.
That's about it. But right now, come Dream Cruise time, I'm not going to be out there with the masses.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of brutal considering all the formal events of the cruise have been canceled, including the people in blue who keep us safe. And without those people hired this year, it could be a rough week around Metro Detroit.
Actually, I wonder, for those of us who live in the area, we're kind of used to it every year. But I just wonder about those people who stop by from out of state thinking, well, okay, so the cities aren't sponsoring, no big deal. We'll still cruise, but hey, guys, the businesses aren't going to be open for you, and the cities aren't going to be providing you porta potties either.
That's right. That's right. Very good point.
That is an excellent point. Oh, Dave?
Yes?
You know what? Why don't we rent some porta potties and then go out and we could pay to use?
Charge for them. Yes.
I see profit in our future.
There, yeah. Genuine entrepreneur.
Wow, that gets a big old thumbs up from me right there.
Dan Maggio, the Ferengi.
What could possibly go wrong with that plane?
We would have to pick them up. No.
Gentlemen, we are being favored today by another guest panelist, which we've been really, really happy to have over the last few months. We're being joined today by Anita Klug, who is our Director of Campus Ministry at Detroit Mercy. Thanks for joining us, Anita.
Great to be here.
Excellent. Love the background, by the way. Could you, because I just saw the postcards from spring break, which was right before the pandemic, could you describe what the mural is?
Yeah. Last year, we were trying to do something interactive with our students and bring some beauty and brightness and color to our campus. And we were blessed with a local muralist who was able to create, after walking around campus and talking to students, a visual of all of our key pieces of art and remembrances on campus, and put it into one mural. And then we spent about 2 weeks offering to students to paint and to put their bits of creativity in. And so it was just a fun event to bless our first year hall and bring people together. We had about 75 students. We don't get that very often for things like this.
If you haven't had a chance, folks who can get access to it, I think there's a few images you can find online at udmercy.edu, and the postcard has the entire mural sort of laid out in the right perspective, and it's just beautiful. I immediately posted it in a nice little frame in the main office of the chemistry department because it was so cool. So, hey, Anita, thanks for joining us today. We're glad to have your expertise and, of course, your smiling face joining us here today. Before I continue, though, I want to make sure I introduce Professor Stephen Manning from the Department of Retired, who has joined us in the lower right corner of my screen.
Good afternoon, Matt. Sorry I'm late. Why do I always look so dark? My house is not dark. It's very, very bright and open and friendly, and it's got like 45 windows, but I always look like I'm in a dungeon somewhere.
Well, mine looks anyway, too bright to be
I know
here.
You, Matt, are actually in the basement. I'm not.
You know, anyway. Just today, Stephen, I'm not in the basement. I have a special anger/sunburn light on, as you can see.
Hellboy.
Look either. You know, I'm 10 feet tall and whatever.
Nice to see you all.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. Find us on our ever-growing Facebook group or listen to your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Before I continue with the set of questions that I had set up for today, I should probably mention that my middle son, Lorenzo, is joining us today, but, you know, he's just a we were tortured with his video game question a few weeks ago, and we're trying to.
Yes. Did he stump us? Does he get a mug?
There was at least one stump, but I don't know quite how to describe it. I mean,
give him the mug.
Yeah. Someone in the background's yelling, "Just send him the mug.
Give him the coffee too."
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. So when last the Super Friends were together, I think you remember. We had a set of questions from Natalie Bohe, who is a Detroit Mercy alumna, May of 2011. She lives in the great city of Sterling Heights. And we had a handful more questions to complete her question set. I'm sure that seventh grader here, Lorenzo, is going to be more than willing to chime in when he knows the answer. Let's see what we got here. Something biblical, it looks like, is on the horizon.
Oh, we got
we have two ringers now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It says in the Old Testament, Ruth was the daughter-in-law to Naomi, but Ruth ended up marrying Boaz, and the couple had a son. What was that son's name?
Oh, Lord.
Come on, Jim.
I don't remember.
Give me or some morality questions. Biblical do not work. Remember, I'm Catholic.
What, could it be like Boaz Jr.?
You know, there's actually a good hint here for those who actually pay attention during the Christmas Eve gospel where they go through the entire lineage.
Right, the genealogy of Jesus. Yeah.
Right. So this person was the father to Jesse and therefore grandfather to King David.
Okay.
For some reason, that doesn't help.
No.
Well, you know, every once in a while, we get stumped. The person's name was.
Where does that mug go?
Where's the religious studies professor?
Yeah. You know, we don't have Todd Hibbert here with us today.
Right. Biblical trivia was not my long suit.
Obed was the father to Jesse, who was the father.
Okay.
Obed. Was the father to Solomon, and then we can continue all the way down to Joseph. Okay. Oh, my. Let's see if we can do this mathematically. Let's just play along here. If Kendra were here, she would just guess numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Name the latitude and longitude coordinates for the capital of Botswana.
What?
God. Good grief.
Let's just see if we can
do it. Latitude maybe maybe that 20 degrees south of the equator.
What? It's 25 south, so I'm giving it to you.
So longitude, I'm going to guess 150 west.
No, it's 26 degrees east.
Yeah, but 26 degrees east is 154 degrees west, and I deserve some credit for that.
Yeah, you're only 25, 27 off, something like that.
I'm not sure that gets it close enough.
So 26 east of meridian. Okay, 150 around. I forget how they mark longitude. So nice, good question.
That was tough. I mean, you literally just thought of a globe and pulled that out of your butt. So
I'm actually looking at a globe right now.
Oh, that's helpful.
No, I'm not really.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's try another one here. What company takes its name from the Hebrew word meaning nature? It was founded by Mark Thatcher in 1984.
Company.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrew for nature.
It says when Thatcher was working as a rafting guide in the early 80s, he noticed the lack of proper footwear for river-based activities. Sneakers were too heavy when wet, and flip-flops lended to make the wearer slip too much. So he added a nylon strap to a traditional thong sandal and created
Tevas.
Yes, they're Tevas. That's right. Very good. By the way, I had to do a double take. I thought I was reading the Trader Joe's tea brand, Tejada, and I'm glad that you got it right.
Well, I didn't say Trader Ming's, so yeah. I mean,
no comment. No
or
comment.
Trader Jose or any of those other Trader ethnicities. So.
Trader subgenres. Yes, exactly.
And by the way, I have to admit that I was wrong. I'm wrong.
At
26 east, if you're measuring from the same zero line, is really 360 less 26 mm-hmm. on the west. Mm-hmm. But I was measuring from the other side. So I guess I was half.
So you were just a hemisphere away.
No, but from the zero line, it's more than 154. It's 154 plus another 180 to get back.
180, yeah. Yeah.
But from the other side of the zero line, it's 154, right? Anyway, I just wanted to correct my error.
You were within a hemisphere of where you needed to be.
I'm not sure. I'm not even sure about that.
Well, you were thinking 154 plus 26 would be 180, right?
Right, but it's really 360, not 180.
Yeah, you're 180 short.
Yeah.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the six professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
We had a set of questions from Natalie Bohe. Here's a kind of a semi-twist. Author Ernest Hemingway spent his boyhood summers at a college on Walloon Lake in Michigan. Where is that lake located? I'll even give you a hint from my introduction at the first part. It's literally less than 10 miles from where I am sitting right now.
Tusky?
Close enough. It's in
Cadillac?
A combination of Charlevoix and Emmett counties, which is where my son Emmett, by the way, gets his name. So, yes, it's true. Okay. In 2015, NASA spacecraft New Horizons became the first spacecraft or probe to do something. What was it?
Pluto?
Yeah. Enzo got it right. It went to Pluto. It was the first thing that ever went to Pluto before. Not a planet.
The non-planet, yeah.
Still,
Demi planet
place to visit.
Nice place to visit,
but you wouldn't want to live there,
right? Oh no, not at all, absolutely not.
Too dark.
But you can see Russia from there.
Oh, absolutely. You can see the dunes in northern Michigan. How about this one? On average, how many peanuts make up one 12-ounce jar of peanut butter?
350.
I would say a gross 144,000.
So I can give you a little bit of help because I want Stephen to repeat what he guessed. It's in the hundreds.
I guess 350.
350. It's actually 350 is low.
600 peanuts.
I'm giving this one to Anita. It's 540 individual peanuts, which are not nuts.
Individual.
Not nuts.
Not nuts.
They're not nuts. What are they?
They are legumes.
Legumes.
Yes. Absolutely. They are legumes.
So it says the good rule of thumb is 45 peanuts per ounce is what it says here.
Hmm.
I will repeat the fact, even though I'm sure that all of us are guilty of it, that another chance to convert this company to metric has been squandered by these 6 feet of social distancing instead of 2 meters. Thank you, fluid ounces. Okay, let's see. What historic church was featured in the wedding scene for the 1979 film The Deer Hunter?
Saint.
Saint Peter's.
Paul.
I don't even remember the movie.
James?
I was 4 years old. I claim childhood.
Oh, no.
What any ideas? Church.
Deer Hunter.
Is it locally famous or nationally famous?
No, it's internationally famous, it looks like.
Internationally famous.
Let's see here. I'm trying to read as fast.
I'm assuming it's in the States.
It was consecrated in 1913. You can see the sea green domes of this century old, just nationally famous, Cleveland Church from the expressway. So it's in Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not up on Cleveland churches.
No, we'll let it slide. It says St. Theodosius, Russian Orthodox Cathedral.
We're just going to go there.
Dave said Saint, and I'm giving partial credit.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks for those questions, Natalie. We had a lot of fun with them. And she is very, very good at giving us sets of questions where she gives us a little background. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. And those are guaranteed to stump the professors for sure.
It's touch and go whenever you find somebody who's a real big cinemaphile and likes movies like The Deer Hunter and stuff like that. So
That's one of those movies I can't watch again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Once is enough.
The following 10 questions are general knowledge, but there's a key word in each question that I've underlined for the host's benefit. And I will leave it to him whether or not to emphasize the special clue or not. The key word in each question is a clue to the ultimate final question. What cable TV series has those words in common? 7 out of 10 is passing, and I won't even count the final bonus. It's Kara Kowalczyk of Rochester Hills, Michigan. So I'll tell you what, let's do the mega clue thing at the end so you don't have to write anything down. What TV sitcom featured a trio of characters who were always introduced as, "Hi, I'm Larry, this is my brother Daryl, and my other brother Daryl"?
Oh, it's Newhart. The Newhart Show.
Oh, Bob Newhart Show, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Actress Tammy Grimes won a Tony Award for her role as American socialite and philanthropist Molly Tobin in what Broadway musical? I'm looking in your direction, Jim.
Tammy Grimes. Let's see. That would have been in the 50s or early 60s, I guess.
Didn't it have to do with Overboard on a Ship or something like that?
Yes, it did.
Yes. Jim, where are you?
I'm thinking.
Expert.
So I tip my tongue.
It wasn't Unsinkable Molly Brown.
That's it.
It was Unsinkable Molly Brown. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
Are you going to give us the key words along the way, or we have to?
You don't have
I'm
to
writing them down.
So. Oh. What was the name of the spacecraft piloted by John Glenn that launched 1962?
Friendship 7.
Yep, and orbited the Earth. It was Friendship 7. Yep, that's right. Enzo observes this the day after my birthday, but not in 1962. The ocean liner SS Andrea Doria collided with the MS Stockholm in 1956 while sailing in which body of water?
The Atlantic Ocean off Nantucket.
Yes. Anita, it is very well known in our show that when it comes to Christmas Carol lyrics and shipwrecks, Jim is a stone cold.
They're just ocean liners.
Obviously. Yeah. These skills are just oozing out of you, Jim.
Our degrees and what we teach mean nothing.
Something's oozing out of him.
Oh. It's all the knowledge of how to teach a class in person.
Oh, yeah, right.
How about this one? Writer, comedian, director Carl Reiner played the temperamental TV variety show star Alan Brady on what sitcom?
Dick Van Dyke Show, yeah.
Dick Van Dyke. What was the name? Oh, I'm sorry. What was the nickname of the 41st governor of the great state of Michigan, who served six terms, by the way? His nickname?
Soapy?
Soapy, yes. That's G-Men and Williams.
He served six terms.
Are y'all Michiganders? Because I'm a Texan. I'm just going to state that.
Okay, Anita, I'm not sure. I think, Matt, are you the only native-born one here?
I think that might be true.
Wow. Okay.
Steven, are you a local?
No.
Okay. Matt, you're the only local. And Michael and Brian Russell.
You knew that though.
Yeah.
I didn't know Soapy served six terms though. That's a long time.
What years were those?
You know, it doesn't have the years, but it mentions such a nickname, as all nicknames are, you know, bestowed. They are earned. His father had founded the Men in Line of Men's Personal Care products.
Ah. And he's the one that got the Mackinac Bridge project pushed through.
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, Soapy is still better than like antiperspirant. I mean, for
all right, here's another one for you. Carol Lindley portrayed a naive band singer named Noni, or Nani, who was ultimately rescued by Red Buttons in what 1972 disaster film?
Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure.
I'm noticing a big, you know, like,
yeah, there's some ocean liners in here because they used the Queen Mary for the movie.
Mm-hmm. So my son observes, was the film a disaster or was
it? I was going to ask the same thing.
Oh, the film was wonderful.
Was a big hit.
The film was actually really good.
Yeah. The remake didn't go anywhere, but the original film. I mean, who could forget some of the classic scenes in that? But the song was very catchy. There's got to be a morning after, so
that's people right.
Remember that too.
And I just can't get Shelley Winter swimming underwater out of my mind.
Yes.
Some more movies to add to the pandemic list.
Yes. 18th century Vermont farmer Justin Morgan gained fame for breeding what type of animal? This actually became the basis for the cavalries of the American Civil War.
Quarter horse?
Horses, yeah, it was horses. Remembering, of course, that there is all sorts of interesting history when it comes to horses in North America versus horses in Europe and things like that. So the horses that became the true American horses that served our military in the Civil War were bred by him in Vermont. Hmm. What was the name of the wife who eventually became first lady of President Dwight David Eisenhower?
Mamie Dowd.
That's right. Mamie was her name. Okay, only a couple more before we do the final reveal here. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Which is the last?
Omega.
We got that
there
one.
There you go, religious one.
I think the child got it before us.
Heard a few chants in his Greek classes, I'm sure. All right, one more here. Oh, no, that's it. I'm sorry, that's 10. Oh. I'm going to go and repeat the special words, and I will remind you, the key word in each question is a clue to the ultimate final question. What cable TV series has those words in common? Here we go. They are Daryl, Grimes, Glenn, Andrea, Carl, Governor, Carol, Morgan, Dwight, and Alpha.
Wow.
DGGACGCMDA doesn't mean a thing.
I think it's a little more, even more literal than that, Dave. It has to do with those words are the names of characters and concepts on the show.
And it's a cable TV show?
This is a fairly recent, however, it's been, by now, it's been on the air for a number of years.
It's not Walking Dead, is it?
It is. It's The Walking Dead. You got it. Very good.
Wow.
Very good. Nice. Very nice.
Are any of those characters living on the show?
I don't know. Actually, to be honest with you, I've only seen the show a couple times, but some of those sounded familiar. It's on my binge list.
So here is the last thing that we do, Anita, on your first venture to our show here. We do a little segment called ATP Favorites. And a very long time ago, one of our longtime question writers and submitters, Frank Burrows of Valencia, California, sent us a long list of themes so that we would never run out of things to talk about our favorite of.
Okay.
And our next set here is, last time we did favorite magazines, if you remember. What would be the favorite car you would purchase if money was no object?
Tesla.
On wheels, Anita. I like the way you think.
I would say ever since watching Cannonball Run, I would have to say a Lamborghini. For sure.
Nice.
I have seen white, yellow, blue, gray Lamborghini
red?
Around up and down Woodward over the past year or two, which is more than I've ever probably ever saw in the previous 25 years. So, and I just saw one coming across 7 Mile by Woodward. I probably come from the Detroit Golf Club just a couple days ago.
Very cool.
Yeah, very
I
cool.
I actually just saw several DeLoreans.
Do oh, there's remember? One. Oh,
I
yeah.
From yep. Back to the Future?
1985.
That was strange this past summer. Two of them.
Very nice.
I'm torn. I think a Tesla also would probably be. If money were no object,
I'd probably say some version of Ferrari, but I love the new Corvette, latest Corvette.
Okay, now I'm torn. Okay, I just got done working on the Cadillac Lyric that just came out. I had previews of that thing. That thing is amazing. Matt, what about you?
You know, it's a good question because you guys will all chatter as one of the youngest people on this podcast. I don't have a direct connection to anything other than the first car that I owned, which was an 83 Cougar, and it was a two-door with a back seat, and it was pretty powerful stuff, let me tell you. But I got to be honest, if money was no object and I see it coming and I'm like, maybe I should start saving now, that new Ford Bronco really looks slick to me. Like, I'm kind of excited about that, and I would be the guy. I could rip on my brother just a little bit. He's got this big old truck and, you know, constantly introduces himself. No, I don't camp. I don't haul anything. I just like, you know, driving the truck.
Yeah, he looks the part.
So anyway, I'm afraid looking at my clock here that our time has come to say goodbye. Jim.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Steven.
Bye.
Anita.
Adios, Twindenny.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in all of our libraries and basements, and we're not in the Briggs Building, I can tell you that. But we are out of the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.